Duncan McLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast brought to you today by Dimension Data. I'm joined now by two executives from Dimension Data Middle East and Africa. The first is Nompumelelo Makor, who is executive for intelligent customer experience at the company, and also by Bruce Lamborn, who is head of sales, also in the intelligent customer experience go-to-market area. Welcome to both of you. We're going to be talking banking today and the customer experience around banking. We all know that the world of banking has changed fundamentally in the last 10 years, and it's been thoroughly upended by technology, from app-based banking to new digital challenges in the South African market that are keeping the big incumbents on their toes. Bruce, I think it's fair to say that the banks are severely challenged right now by all of this disruption, and they're having to adapt to customers who now expect things like effortless on-demand engagement and hyper-personalization. And I know NTT, Dimension Data's parent company, has just produced some new research around this. In fact, it's an annual research report that NTT produces. It's called the Global Customer Experience Benchmarking Report, or CXBR. Now, I think, Bruce, as a starting point, and please feel free to draw on that NTT research, if you don't mind, maybe take us through what the bank of the future is going to look like.
Yeah, thank you, Duncan. Thank you for the opportunity. And from our perspective, intelligent banks of the future need to transition away from sort of traditional sales and service models towards more customized, contextually appropriate, and advice-based experiences with more interactive and dynamic feel. So, yeah, banks of the future really need to transform. But we've also seen, you know, some big challenges in that space. We've seen organizations sort of failing from a strategic design perspective. So we still see a lot of banks sort of having their silos, engagement silos. You might have on the one side your digital engagement channels, you might have your previous voice channels, and the two haven't really combined yet. So we're seeing a lot of challenges in that space. Also, agility from an ecosystem perspective, where we want to build a single pane of glass, we're having some challenges with sort of legacy platforms, these large monolithic platforms that are still in place. So some challenges in the ecosystem. We also see challenges from a voice of the customer perspective. We don't see sort of the banks really using analytics appropriately, either from a voice or data perspective, and also sort of enterprise feedback management platforms. We really think that that's core to analyzing that data to provide a really better customer experience for the future. Also, best practice in data management tends to be an issue. And then what we've also seen is sort of employee and artificial intelligence balance, making sure they get the balance right between the human factor and the AI factor. So you're just calling on some of the research that we've looked at from a banking perspective. We've kind of seen sort of five strategic initiatives that we think is sort of crucial for the bank of the future. Number one is to sort of drive intuitive personalization, really important concept for most of the corporate banks today. They need to drive sort of context-based driven interactions across any engagement channel. So it doesn't matter whether you're coming in on a voice channel, mobile channel, web chat. You've got to have the same context throughout every single channel. We've also seen sort of hyper-personalization from a channel perspective, making sure that, you know, customers have their preference. We've seen a huge uptake in, for example, the web chat, the WhatsApp channel recently. A lot of customers are wanting to interact on that channel, do a lot of self-service on that channel. So there's an example of a channel where we're seeing a lot of uptake where the customers are really driving that. Also, a lot of proactive and predictive stuff happening in from the banking side. Examples of this is, you know, when loans are taken out, you know, there's 45 days the chaps haven't paid their loans off. We have machines that basically track down these individuals through automation, and also have sort of bi-directional feedback between the systems and the customer. Also, we've seen real-time, a lot of the emerging generations want real-time service. So no longer do you want to sit in a queue for, you know, 20 minutes. If you go back 10 years ago, those days are gone. Today, you want an automatic callback in queue or via a web portal. Also, a lot of self-directed journeys. That's incredibly important. And also the use of sentiment analysis and behavioral insights to sort of draw on a greater CX experience. The next one that we think is incredibly important is to invest in innovation. Like you mentioned before, you know, the fintechs that are coming into the space, they are driving massive innovation. And really, we're seeing a shift in organizational leadership to more decision making around big CX initiatives, because we've seen in the marketplace those that hold CX as a core discipline, you generally see much higher returns. So innovation is incredibly important. We've also seen a move from sort of coping to evolving. There's the concept of DevOps. We're really seeing that very active in the market at the moment. So sort of the banks are moving sort of from a product type a solution to more development within operations. A lot of development that's happening to get sort of minimal viable product and making sure that they get the most return. So a lot of innovation happening in that space. The next one we see is harnessing intelligent ecosystems. This is basically where we take the old traditional customer interaction management platforms and we merge that with CRM platforms. And why that's important is when you stitch these two together, the previous CIM tools or CRM tools, you unlock context. So when that call does arrive through any channel, the customer services representative has a full history of what happened there. The next one, which is a hot topic at the moment that we see, is sort of remote flexible workforce. We can see with the pandemic that has happened, massive uptake of home-based users. I know many years ago, if we wind back 13 years ago, to get home-based agents into the banks was very difficult. But with the penetration of fiber and with the pandemic, we've seen a huge move to the agent workforce sitting at the edge. It's also brought on the need for the future to have a lot of productivity tools. These could be real-time activity monitoring tools, that could be desktop process analytic tools to really understand what's happening at the edge from an agent perspective. And also, very importantly, making sure we have high motivation levels when agents are sitting at the edge. So these are concepts like gamification. We really empower the agents to deliver really good service. Also, a lot of automation happening from a management perspective, allowing the agents to be guided through when the interactions are happening. So it's very intuitive and helping them through the calls to really unlock sort of first call resolution. And then also the need to harmonize the human and automated workforce. Examples of that is when customers are coming through on a web chat, doing an instant message with a bot. What happens when they actually have to move to an agent assisted interaction? It's very important that we take that information and move that through to the agents so they've got context around what happened. And then just lastly, unlocking customer insights, incredibly important. Intelligent banks of the future really need to harness sort of big data to unlock customer insights. And we see a lot of this from a voice analytics perspective and a data analytics perspective. There's all these golden nuggets of information you never really get to unlock. But by using machines, we're able to understand exactly what the customer's pain points are. And then also advanced analytics, you know, a perfect example of this is Black Friday that's just happened. Making sure that we have algorithms that work out the loads that are going to be coming in, we can predict. So for a lot of our banks, we predict load using our workforce management software. And there's an example of how we use advanced analytics. And then just lastly, a use of data insights to deliver hyper customization. And those are really sort of the five key initiatives we see for the bank of the future.
A lot just to absorb there, Bruce. A lot to absorb there. Sorry, yes, no, Lolo, you want to jump in there?
Just to add to just a little to what Bruce has said, I think Bruce has said a mouthful. One of the things that is part and parcel of our strategy from a client-centricity perspective as NTT and Dimension Data is a key understanding of what each and every industry is actually doing. So, for example, in the banking sector, and we've seen this over the last 3 to 4 years, that a big shift and move, and you mentioned it earlier as well, is the changing in the enterprise agility from fintech to open banking to neo-banking. How does that fundamentally change the way a bank actually operates? And to what extent do we as tech service providers enable the bank to migrate from what their core would be to what their future state is going to be as well. So we also drive the understanding from the as-is model that they're running on to their to-be model. I think another point that I just wanted to mention on what you were saying about the remote banking part, it's so interesting to look at and to also try to understand what happens to branch locations. What type of banking do you get there? From a customer perspective, a customer wants 24/7 type of banking. What does that really mean looking at the banking model? Is that investment? Is that loans? Is that day-to-day transactions? What is that? And is the bank geared enough to be able to provide it? And also from what Bruce was saying about the VOC part, it was interesting to check that as South Africa and the Middle East Africa region, we were quite lean. This is the last year's benchmark report was actually stating this quite clearly, that as a region, our customers and the customers around in banking and all our different sectors were quite geared to voice. And now with the changes that have happened from 2019, even through COVID, is the uptake and accelerated uptake of digital solutions or digital channels. And what was saying earlier about the integration of those two is quite critical to be able to have an end-to-end omni-channel view of your customer. Because right now, you have a disparate customer calling you on voice. They're sending you a tweet. They're sending you something on Facebook. But if you don't have the same view of what your customer is doing, different agents are going to respond to a particular call. Now, they're sitting at home. They're also trying to give you the best of service. But as a customer, by the end of the day, because you send these three different messages, you're getting three different answers to one problem. You don't want to have that ongoing problem as an encounter to customer experience. So I do think that as part and parcel of the bank of the future, that ecosystem and that integrated omni-channel becomes quite key to be able to see where does your customer start, where do they end? How do you upsell? How do you give them the best of service? How do you anticipate what they are expecting from you?
Yeah, that's 100%. And there's this concept of sort of customer journey. So, you know, when the call does arrive at the customer services representative, they've got a full view of any interaction that happened in any channel within the bank of the future. And that's important because you can also direct the conversation. So a practical example of that is someone's very upset with the banking service that they got the night before. They've gone on to a Twitter feed or Facebook and have expressed their unhappiness. When that call arrives the next morning, that customer service representative has to be armed with that information at that moment of truth to direct the call in an appropriate manner. So that's why it's incredibly important that we stitch all the channels together and have the context when that call arrives.
Bruce, you mentioned the legacy systems that the banks have, and clearly they've got a lot on their plates at the moment, and they're facing new challenges, digital-only upstarts in the sector. How much of a challenge is that legacy infrastructure to the banks to do a lot of the stuff that you've spoken about here? And how has the emergence of cloud computing and hyperscale cloud computing perhaps made the job a little bit easier?
Yeah, we are seeing we have a lot of monolithic platforms that are still in place with a lot of our large banks, particularly linked to sort of product. And it's almost a huge transformational phase that the banks are having to go through in redesigning those applications. And, you know, with the advent of cloud computing, it has brought about opportunities to redesign that environment and effectively cloudify a lot of those applications, because by moving to the cloud, there are major benefits that come with things like compute storage, and you really have that true elasticity. So we are definitely seeing a big move from a lot of our banks to move their previous workloads into the cloud. But at the same time, there's a lot of redesign and re-architecture that is happening in that space. But definitely it's extremely prevalent in the banking vertical currently.
Now, I know you touched on this briefly in your opening remarks, Bruce, but the COVID-19 pandemic, the lockdown that we've seen in 2020, has changed priorities, not just for the financial services sector, but I think for industries across the board. But specifically in the banking space, how have the conversations changed with your banking clients? And I'm thinking specifically something you referenced earlier regarding the impact on debt recovery rates for the banks. And maybe you can talk us through there in some detail about how Dimension Data is assisting the banks from a technology perspective in that regard.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's well publicized that there's been enormous pressure on the financial vertical or the banks in particular around debt recovery rates brought on by the pandemic. We've seen a major focus on managing the bad debt levels and recovery rates during the pandemic. But we've also seen, you know, sort of the human touch from a lot of the banks. I've seen a lot of them being quite understanding in these difficult times and almost making arrangements with the sort of end customers around debts owed and sort of re-architecting this sort of loans for sort of a better, smoother payments dates. So we're seeing a lot of that. But we've also noticed within the banks, there was quite a large portion of banks that had proactive selling, and they've almost moved a lot of those resources into the collections and recovery departments because we've really seen a decrease in what we call a PTP, a promise to pay, or an RPC, a right party connect. And really, in order to make sure that they increase these levels, they're moving a lot of their workforce that was sitting in the sales departments into the collection recovery departments. We've definitely seen renewed focus from an outbound perspective on automation technology. Banks are looking to bring more engagement channels into the collection strategy. So previously it was what we call a dialer, which is typically voice. It's no longer just about voice. It's about integrating voice with a multitude of other engagement channels. So a practical example of that is the machines are dialing for a collection. They might phone the gentleman or the lady three times. If that doesn't happen, we automatically fire off an SMS or an email. And again, that's bi-directional. So you can have a promise to pay over an SMS that will then be pulled into our outbound platforms and literally take that person out of the collections campaign if they haven't made a promise to pay. From a technology perspective, how are we helping our customers? There's a lot of work going into the space right now. We're very active. And again, this is really around making sure that we drive collection rates. Our development teams are doing a lot of front end and back end integration. So at a front end, our user interfaces, we're doing a lot of development there around scripting, how we can bring a lot of best practice from the collection space to help agents. We also do what we call a lot of back-end integration, where our automation platforms are integrated with collections software platforms and leads management platforms. So that seems to be quite active. We also help our customers with regards to data management. There's the concept of garbage in, garbage out. We really help our customers make sure that they've got the right clean data when they are going out to make sure that they get the right party connect rates really high first time. Also, an interesting topic we're looking at is data segmentation. A practical example of this is, why would you phone someone if at 9 o'clock if they're a teacher or a minor? So we make sure our platforms are not dialing certain job profiles because it wouldn't make sense when we know they're not available. And that happens in the back end where we do a lot of data segmentation. We also do a lot of historical mining of right party connect numbers. So if we contacted an individual a couple of times on that number, we'll always poll that number first so we can make sure that we increase our connect rates. Also, enormous amount of integration in web form. So you can go online, make a promise to pay. That again is integrated in our automation platforms. Another interesting topic we're looking at the moment, bringing into the conversation WhatsApp again, is we're almost looking at how we can leverage WhatsApp from a presence point of view. Obviously, where we're given authorization to do that, we can poll presence of some of the customers. So our outbound automation tools will actually look at that, and if someone is available, we'll launch calls. We also have a lot of robotic styling happening, so there's a lot of virtual agents that happen. So we typically do that in a high volume, low collection space. So rather having a human on the end of the call, we have machines that do this. And another one that's very interesting, we've seen a lot of positive uptake, is we're using our analytics platforms to almost unpack best practice from a collections perspective. So where we see that agents have got very high collection rates, we try and understand what they are doing right. And more often than not, we actually build that into our process. It could be scripting tools that we change to sort of drive best practice. And then just generally, we're looking at sort of, especially at home-based agents, we're making sure that where outbound collections are happening from a home perspective, that the infrastructure systems are correct. Seen a lot of issues with the wrong infrastructure at homes, you know, dongles as opposed to proper routers. We've seen issues around last mile connectivity and monitoring cradle to grave. So we add a lot of services around that to make sure that the customer experience from a collections perspective at the edge is happening appropriately.
I don't think I'll ever look at a call from my bank in the same way again after that. It's amazing how much complexity goes into this stuff.
Yeah, it can be very, very complex in the background.
Yeah, absolutely. Nompumelelo, did you want to jump in there?
Just one point on what Busa just mentioned. I remember we did a POC at one of the banks, just trying to understand when you look at the productivity of the agents, especially in the debt collections environment, vis-a-vis the debt recovery rate, what is the alignment there? What causes one or the other? And we realize that as Bruce is saying about the issue of the quality of calls for home-based agents, if they don't have the right connectivity, if they're not necessarily calling the clients at the right times, and you find that that has a direct correlation between what can be collected and what can't be collected, and being able to use these different channels to be able to collect, for example, the WhatsApps and the SMSs is quite key for those type of models. So having quite an interactive or predictive outbound model from a bank is quite key.
Now, Nompumelelo, I know you wanted to expand in a little bit more detail on how Dimension Data can assist banks in optimizing their performance. Do you want to talk a little bit to that?
I will. So one of the things, and that's why in the past comment, I wanted to just touch on understanding what banks do. And Bruce touched on it as well. The biggest part that we see and the biggest player that we see is around data monetization, where data is key. I mean, if I look at the benchmarking report for the last 3 or 4 years, we have been saying to our clients, you need to have a proper strategy around data management and data analytics, because we are at a point where our clients cannot afford not to have a clear understanding of what the data is telling them. Mm-hmm. What you find is that there's a lot of unstructured data. Now, if it's unstructured data, what should we be doing? So we do help, and we do have the right tools to be able to help our clients unpack this data, put them in the right data segments, put them in the right data lakes to be able to unpack and say, what is the information telling us? Then you'll find that, yes, you unearth the insights. Then what you find lacking between the data that's unstructured to the cleaned up data that's now information and insights is action. Now, the path between information and action is very, very key. Our clients have the insights, but I think there's not enough that's happening from an action perspective, because we can help the clients to clean up the data. We can help the clients to find the insights. Now, the next leg is, how do we help our clients to actually action what the insights are telling them? Because unless you action those insights, you're not going to be able to be able to derive the value from them. So that's what we're doing is quite key. The second part that what we're looking at is around the topic of automation. It's a very broad topic, of course, but let's hone in on the likes of, what do we do when we've got the right AI or the right bots? Where in the process of our clients can we go in, and what we do, because it's not only us as the ICX go to market, but we've got our business application go to market as well as our workplace go to market, where we look at the equation of employee experience, or heightened employee experience will equal to heightened customer experience. So we do look at the end-to-end spec of how do the processes actually interact between the employee experience, the business applications, and customer experience. And to what extent are we integrating, for example, what Ruth was sharing earlier, the CRM as well as our customer-based applications? And what do they tell us? So we do enable our clients to be able to have a proper integration journey or integration ability between those CRMs and other applications so that they can be able to manage applications end to end. They're able to improve employee experience. Instead of an employee looking at different apps for one action, they're actually able to look at one dashboard. That's integration. And being able to take that information that they see and be able to increase or enhance the customer experience. That's key because customer experience enables you to be able to upsell, enables you to be able to market, enables you to be able to distribute your services or have the right products for your particular client. And then the last one that is quite key, I'm sure we're seeing a lot of our clients looking and talking about it, but it's also in the automation space. We've been talking for quite some time around the likes of blockchain. We're not there as an organization, but we are exploring the likes of what do we do to enable our clients when it comes to a particular topic. But I will ring fence it for now and go back to what Dimensions can do. I think the big topic that we've seen for the last couple of months is around cybersecurity, which we've been focusing on across all our clients in terms of how do we heighten security across. So when we look at our business and our go-to-markets or our solutions, all our solutions have to be secure by design. So it means that whatever comes from ICX, from other go-to-markets, it has to be secure. And the underlying base being the infrastructure, we help our clients in their cloud journeys. We help our clients with the hybrid on-prem and cloud journey. We help our clients with the end-to-end automation automation and board strategy. We help our clients with the end-to-end digital advisory strategy as well. Because what we found is that when we look at what we do at NTT with our NTT enablement and tools, we're able to look at the client end-to-end from infrastructure to applications to customer experience to workplace, as well as to the security of all of those applications. So we're able to assist our clients optimize their services from that particular perspective.
Now, Nompumelelo, we touched at the beginning of the conversation on the topic of hyper-personalization. Before we wrap up our discussion today, how essential is personalization in the banking environment today? And Bruce, feel free to jump in on this one as well.
I would definitely say it's key. It's like the creme de la creme of everything, of business as a whole, I suppose, because the one thing that customers want, they want the service provider to be able to anticipate their needs before they know them. I used to make an example about what happened with COVID with the airlines. I mean, airlines would have known from when there was the global pandemic being declared that they should be calling their customers. They should be saying, customers, either we're going to refund you or we're going to give you a voucher for the full year. We didn't need everybody calling in and blocking the lines. For me, that's a clear case of customization and hyper-personalization. You know who your customers are. That's key. And you won't get it unless you've got the right data. Again, it goes back to our data monetization conversation. The data that they have as clients, they need to understand who are their key clients, who are their regular clients, what do they buy, when do they buy them, how do they give products and offerings that are geared to those particular clients. I mean, for example, when you go to your retail outlets and you've got your loyalty card, that loyalty card is a lot of information, and I know that at the helm of all these things is that we need to apply Poppy from a South African perspective.
Yeah.
How do we ensure that information is still secure and it's not used for the wrong reasons? But in the same breath, that information would tell the client or the particular client exactly what to build out for their customers. How do you personalize the service? How do you enhance the service? How do you predict what the customer wants before they even require it? Even coming back to the banking sector, we spoke about the fact that it's a 24/7 environment. You want your customer to be able to bank with you anywhere, anytime, no matter what's happening. You don't want them to ever lose connection with you. I mean, I remember we were talking about this beginning of the year, the concept of cancel culture, where customers were moving from one bank to the other without the bank knowing, because they were saying, the fees here are not the best, so I'm moving to the next one. But now, if the bank knows that my customer is sensitive to fees, they always compare because they sometimes it can happen that they've got a base service from you. If you create a new service model that enables that customer, be able to move them before they even say, I want to be moved. Tell them, I've got this offering because I see you only spending R3 with me per month. This particular model or this particular product helps you to spend R2.50 instead of you moving. So for me, that's where hyper-personalization comes from. Mm. You anticipate your client's needs. You're able to offer them the right service. You're able to also proactively communicate with them before they even know that they need something. So that's, for me, that where the concept comes in.
Yeah, I'd agree with all of that. I mean, hyper-personalization is incredibly important in a very competitive landscape today. So you're going to have to differentiate with your customer experience. And in doing that, you've got to build customer experience around the individual. So like we mentioned before, if the individual wants to communicate with the bank on a certain channel and that's their preference, we have to build around that. So we have to build a lot of automation where the individuals want to self-serve. We need to make sure whether you're on a web portal, whether you're on a voice interactive response platform, the experience is the same throughout. So really, it's bringing that hyper-personalization. And very importantly, again, I mentioned it a couple of times, context, incredibly important. So when the calls do arrive, the agent is fully armed with what the issue is and then has the ability to resolve. So for the future, it's a big one for the banks, hyper-personalization all the way.
Yep.
Well, thank you, guys. This has been an information-packed session, and I think many people in the banking sector are going to find it very useful. I did mention at the beginning the global CXBR document from NTT. Now, I've got a URL for that here, but it's a little on the long side, so I'm going to include it with the entry on the Tech Central website. I was just saying to Bruce before we started recording the session today that it's probably easiest if you just go to Google and type in NTT CXBR or NTT Global Customer Experience Report, and you'll be able to find a copy of that online if you're keen to read more about that. My guests today have been Nompumelelo Moko, who is Executive for Intelligent Customer Experience at Dimension Data Middle East and Africa, and she was joined by Bruce Lamborn, who's Head of Sales also in the Intelligent Customer Experience go-to-market area at Dimension Data Middle East and Africa. Thank you both for your time today.
Thank you, Duncan.
Pleasure, Duncan.